Well, hello, this is Thompson Smiley with another in the series where I take my monthly column in the Louisville magazine, somewhat sententiously entitled Smiley's Picks, and take it on air with WUOL. And while the column is dormant during the summer, we still carry on with these radio segments, which are really intended to draw attention to some of the truly interesting and remarkable things which are happening in Louisville. And during the summer, they often tend to be, you know, off people's radar screens, but our aim is to get them back on the radar screen. And my guest this morning is that Louisville-based multiple threat, Roger Fristo, one-time film critic, sometime director, writer, one-man show, and multiple threat. So what threats have you in store for us in the month of July?
Well, we're doing a play called Equus, which is one of the most challenging things in contemporary theater, I think. So that's a sufficient threat for me at the moment.
And you're presumably doing the psychiatrist.
Yes, I am. And a lot of words to learn and a lot of things to remember, but it's such an exciting play that I'm so thrilled just to have the chance to say those words at last. I've wanted to do this play since the 1970s. When I first saw it on Broadway, I turned to my companion when it was over and said, I'm going to do that play someday, somewhere. It's taken me a while, but here I am.
And you're following in some very distinguished footsteps.
Oh, absolutely.
Aren't you? I mean, Burton did it for a spell on Broadway.
Yes, he did, and he did the film. And Anthony Hopkins actually preceded him on Broadway. And when I saw it, Hopkins had just left it, and I was quite disappointed because I really wanted to see him do it. And his replacement was Anthony Perkins,
yes.
Mr. Psycho.
Yes, indeed.
And I was disappointed when I heard this, but when I sat there and watched this performance, to this day I think it's one of the greatest performances I've ever seen anywhere. He was absolutely spellbinding in it. And that set a very high standard for me with my thoughts of wanting to do it myself.
Yes, and I think the recent and highly publicized Broadway show with Daniel Radcliffe of Harry Potter fame, that featured the actor Richard
Griffiths from the Harry Potter series. Yes.
You see, I think of him from the History Boys.
Because of course,
he did a sensational tour of that.
He was wonderful in that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't like to criticize other actors, but I will, with your permission.
Absolutely.
I thought Griffiths played it too calmly and too much as if it were just another day in the office. And I didn't think he grasped the dramatic possibilities of it as much as he could have. So I thought Daniel Radcliffe was quite good, but I wasn't highly pleased with Griffiths' performance.
Well, that doesn't really surprise me, because a friend of mine has recently seen in London a new play by Alan Bennett about Auden and Benjamin Britten and the conflict between them over writing libretti. It doesn't sound like highly dramatic stuff, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt that Griffiths playing Auden was a piece of titanic miscasting, not just in terms of the physique du role, as the French say. I mean, Auden was very thin and Richard Griffiths very fat, but also he had far too much of a laid-back attitude.
Yeah, that's the same feeling I had about Equus. He's a fine actor, of course, but he was so casual about it and so sort of uninvolved in the boy's predicament, I thought.
The two big challenges is how you deal with the issue of horses rampaging and stamping on stage.
Yes.
And over various threats. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing it, because then people won't need to buy tickets.
Okay.
But I do want to get in a...
But I can say it's highly theatrical and very, very engaging.
Well, for me, it's also another chance to go to the Bunbury Theatre.
Yes,
which
wonderful.
I think is one of the most extraordinary spaces
in
Louisville.
It is. It's a wonderful space.
And nobody
knows
about it.
It's wonderful for the performers. As well as the audience.
And I see here it's presented by something called Actors' Choice. It's
yes.
not an official Bunbury production.
That's right. It's produced in conjunction with Bunbury. But Actors' Choice is a brand new company. This is their premier production. My friend Mike Seeley is the artistic director of this group. And his whole idea is to produce plays that will offer really exciting challenges to actors.
Yes.
And plays that mightn't otherwise be done at this level of theater in the city.
I remember seeing it in London in the 70s, and then, of course, seeing the movie. And I think I've seen it once more since at Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music. It did a marvelous production of it. But in some ways, it has struck me as almost dated. In one sense, there's a kind of 1970, 75, I think was the year of the premiere, very self-conscious, psychoanalytical quality about it. Is that a challenge, or is that something you're aware of, or am I just
You know, I never think of it that way. To me, this play seems timeless. It always has, because of the sort of underlying themes that it addresses. How much passion can you live with in your life?
Yes.
And when does it become so selfish that it destroys things around you?
Yes.
So I never found it to be dated. I suppose in one way, the boy today probably would be terribly preoccupied with video games and cell phones and all of this, as opposed to television.
Yes.
But aside from that, and the one thing I love most of all about this play is the language. Peter Schaffer's words are so wonderful. And just to stand on the stage and speak them, I can say this honestly, it is a privilege to stand up there and say those words. Even when I went to the audition, I thought, oh, I'm getting to say these words in front of somebody at long last.
Yes. Yeah. Schaffer has this extraordinary writing quality,
though. Oh, doesn't he? Yeah.
I quite often have reference to Amadeus, you know, the famous film of the play on
Another
the life of Mozart.
Play.
And Schaffer's description of the music when, you know, he's talking about music, which you shouldn't do, you should listen to music, but he's got an extraordinary ability to, I don't know what, to just capture language.
Oh, he does, absolutely. I have one brief little speech.
Please.
This is an almost incidental scene in the play, but it just is such a good illustration of his love of words and the way he can string them together. And the psychiatrist is speaking to his best friend, and he says, I wish there was one person in my life I could show. One instinctive, absolutely unbrisk person I could take to Greece and stand in front of certain shrines and sacred streams and say, look, life is only comprehensible through 1,000 local gods, and not just the old dead ones like Zeus, no, but living geniuses of place and person, and not just Greece, but modern England. Spirits of certain trees, certain curves of brick walls, certain fish and chip shops, if you like, and slate roofs, just as of certain frowns in people and slouches. I'd say to them, worship as many as you can find, and more will appear.
Yeah, it's splendid,
isn't that lovely?
Rolling around your mouth.
Yeah.
Is it? Are you planning to do it with English dialects?
We are.
Is that necessary?
I think it is, because it's so particularly English in its attitudes, and of course it's set in England, and we're fortunate in having two authentic Britishers in our cast.
Oh, do you?
And they're coaching the rest of us.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're hitting a pretty a good tone with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other, of course, elephant in the drawing room is the nudity, because there's extensive nakedness for both the girl and even more so for the boy. And that's, of course, what caught the press when Radcliffe did it on Broadway. Is that an embarrassment? Is that a component? Is that something that's just subsumed and happens naturally?
I think it's essential to the play, because part of the story is the stripping down of this boy psychologically. All of his defenses are being removed, and you're getting right down to the core of who he is. And so in this case, it doesn't seem at all gratuitous to me. It's like a part of his exposure, and it just dramatizes that all the more.
Yeah, I always find the problem with nudity on stage is that's what draws the eye, and that's what people remember.
True.
And kind of puts the rest of it. I mean, directors are always putting naked ladies in opera nowadays, usually painted green for some reason, for gore, presumably.
Yeah.
And that's perhaps just my being old-fashioned. The other thing which merits the mature audience warning is the violence, because the stabbing of the horses can be horrifying.
Yes, of course. And one thing about that, though, it has already happened when the story begins in the play. And so it's a reflection on what led up to it. And when it is dramatized, it's in such a stylized fashion that there's no blood or a real horror beyond the psychological horror.
I've got a number here, 583-8222. The dates, July 28 to 30, 3 to 6 in the evening, and 31 and August 7 at 2 p.m. And the number again is 583-8222. The play is Peter Schaffer's Equus, and my guest today has been Roger Fristow.